Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's good to be with you today. I want to begin the broadcast today with some scripture. Daniel Seckham is on the line. He'll be joining me on the air in just a moment. We're going to talk about some amazing things in the times that we're living in. And I begin today in Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry and soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhors all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. You know, that word there, wit's end, is a very interesting word. When men come to their wit's end, that word wit in the Hebrew is kokmah, and it simply means when men come to the end of their skill, their wisdom, their shrewdness, their prudence. In other words, when men have come to a point in their lives where there's nothing more they can do, they have no wisdom to do anything to rescue themselves from the trouble that they find themselves in. It is there that the one thing that men who are genuinely wise men still seek the Lord. When there is genuine wisdom, there is a calling out to the Lord. And God hears the prayers of all creation. Any human being on this earth that would cry out to God for help, there is a witness that God actually does do this. So I don't know if you and I will ever get to our wit's end. I happen to have been there a few days ago, beyond my own ability, skill, or wisdom on what to do. Called out to the Lord. He heard my cry, and he saved my life just a few days ago. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But right now, I want to bring my dear friend onto the radio broadcast, Brother Daniel Seckham. Daniel, good morning. God bless you, sir. Welcome to the program. How are you doing tonight in Australia, today in America?
G'day, Pastor Vincent. So good to hear from you again. I'm not doing too bad. I'm feeling a little bit tired, but apart from that, I'm all good.
Well, you have to accept my apologies publicly. Yesterday, you and I were supposed to be on the air, but we had just gotten back from this long trip, and I woke up. It was already 9:30 in the morning, so I missed it, and I've drug you into this moment of time. May God quicken you, heal you. You're a young buckaroo, so let's go. And tell me, Brother Daniel, is there anything new going on in our world today? Anything we should be aware of?
There's a bit going on, but I just want to sort of tack on with what you mentioned previously, because you talked about that scripture about at their wit's end. It was ironic because my family were driving back from a place called Nelson Bay. And, while we were driving toward Nelson Bay, actually, it was on the way there, we saw a big sign for a property, and the property was called Wit's End.
Oh, man. Big, isn't that amazing?
A big sign, a big writing said Wit's End.
And, when did that happen?
Isn't that interesting that you should mention that? I thought that's very interesting how... And you mentioned the Hebrew word when it says that a man, when he comes to the end of his wisdom. And you know what? A lot of that happens because men have no more fear of the Lord. They have no more fear of the Lord. And what happens? Well, they end up at their wit's end. They end up at the end of their wisdom. Because if they feared the Lord, what does the Bible say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts. That's where it all starts, with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. However, if you reject that, you find yourself at your wit's end.
Amen. Hey, Daniel, that's very interesting, because in Psalm 107, in verse 25, it says, "For he," this is Yahweh, God, "commands and raises the stormy wind." Which lifts up the waves. And one of my favorite passages for our generation, I really believe this is the message to America today, and I've preached it many times out of Acts chapter 27, when Paul got on that ship and they hit that storm called Euroclydon. I mean, that's such a powerful northeasterly storm that hit the ship. And I've likened America unto a ship. And the shipmasters thought that they had gained their advantage, and the south wind blew softly, and they thought, okay, now we're good. Paul had been warning them, don't take this trip. There's going to be a major problem. But the shipmasters thought that they knew better than the apostolic anointing that was going forth. And they leave, and of course, the entire ship is destroyed. But because the apostle is on the ship, the people's lives are saved. They're up on an island. But that passage of scripture, the Euroclidon storm in Acts 27, you tie that in with 107, God raises up the stormy wind. There's no doubt that a stormy wind has been raised up in the United States of America, and that wind is blowing around the world. And you tie that into Revelation chapter 7, and there are four winds that are being withheld till the sons of God are being marked, or the people of God are being sealed in their foreheads. And when those four winds are released, we have the first four trumpets, and then we have some celestial things begin to happen. And Daniel, we're just days away from another triad of blood red moons coming up, and there's a tremendous amount of significance to all of that as well. So, you know, and these winds cause people to come to their wits' end. Mankind, governments, there's a time coming on this earth nobody is going to know what to do. Speak into that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting, though. And listen, I haven't done much research into this, but from what I've heard, the blood moon will also be very close, I think, to where the appearance of Mars is, because Mars is appearing in the sky at the moment. I'm not sure if it's in the North American sky, but we have a very, very clear view of the planet Mars at the moment. And so, yeah, could it be another sign? Well, yes, it absolutely could be. I mean, the previous triads that we've had have basically caused a lot of different things happening within the world, especially to do with Israel, and not just to do with Israel, but also the global ferment, the upheaval. You know, like we are seeing this firsthand. Like America is being torn apart by its division at the moment. And America is the only thing that really stands in the way of the devil's agenda to destroy Israel. So this is why America is being targeted at the moment. It's being targeted big time at the moment, because the devil wants to destroy America's influence in the world. The devil wants to, because he's got his key players ready. You know, the moment America is gone from the scene, he can do what he wants with it. He can begin to move his agents in place against Israel. So that's what we need to be mindful of, because this is why there is so much emphasis of the devil's attacks on America at the moment. And this is why every single one of your amendments within your Constitution are under attack at the moment. You know, your First Amendment, your Second Amendment, Third Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, every single one of these amendments are under attack because the devil wants to strip away the freedom of the American people. He wants to bring them under bondage. And, you know, it's interesting, Pastor Vincent, never has Marxism and socialism been so hot right now, like especially among the millennials. I mean, socialism is just having a massive comeback, and over 50% of millennials favor socialism over capitalism, and that should ring massive alarm bells. The fact that we are gradually seeing America's freedoms dwindle away, and so yeah, we need to be very, very prayerful. Another thing that's big news at the moment, and that is this: the state of Palestine has been chosen to lead the largest UN bloc in a snub to the United States and to Israel. So a group of developing nations at the United Nations has chosen the observer state of Palestine, so-called state of Palestine, as its next leader. The Palestinian Authority ambassador told New York Times on Tuesday. Now, the decision that could cause new tensions, and I would say even massive tensions, with Israel and the United States. So again, things are moving, things are happening, and again, it's the Palestinian agenda, especially when it comes to the UN, that we're seeing happening at the moment. And interesting that that's happening while the whole Blood Moon Triads are going on. So yeah, you're right, Pastor Vincent. I think it can be very symbolic.
We're going to do a lot of more detailed study tomorrow on the broadcast about these new triads of blood red moons. And you go back, the numbers are very interesting. You go back to the spring of 2014 and all the way up until the fall of 2017 brings you to an exact 3.5 years of blood red moons, solar eclipses, constellations of the Revelation 12 sign. And I know a lot of people didn't want to put anything, you know, too much stock in all of that. But the fact is, those signs did show up in a 3.5 year period of time. And this is God's calendar signal in the heavens, you know, to people that have wisdom on the earth to recognize, hey, I'm sending you a signal of what is coming on the earth. And then he defines it by giving that Revelation 12 constellation in its perfection. And then we saw ISIS. We saw, you know, the consternation begin to rise between the police and Ferguson and Baltimore and Dallas and New York and police being shot. And I mean, the turmoil was turned up. There's no doubt. And now we're ready in this lull to see another move. It's been a provocative season, provocative in Israel, provocative in the United States. As you said, we're being torn in half. We're more divided now. We're being ripped to shreds. And that is the wind that is beginning to blow. But we haven't seen anything yet from the biblical perspective of those four winds that are being released. Because, Daniel, when those winds blow, all you have to do is read Revelation chapter 8 and see the first four trumpets. And those four trumpets, you can't get a sound out of a trumpet without wind blowing through it. And we're going to begin to see some celestial activity. God events are about to happen. And the church needs to be aware of what is going on when these things happen so that we're not, you know, misunderstanding or misinterpreting the signs of the times that we're in, which is all about your ministry, interpreting the signs of the times.
Exactly. And I'll tell you something else that's interesting. There's been a long-lost prophecy in regard to Australia, in regard to particularly September, forget which date. But the prophecy was that there would be a massive tsunami that would hit the eastern coast of Australia and like millions of casualties. Do I put much stock in that? Well, not really. But again, you know, I mean, it's something that's been said, so it'll be interesting to see what comes about in regard to that. One thing I do know for sure is that Australia is definitely under God's judgment. I mean, the fact that we voted yes to homosexual so-called marriage is a, you know, the moment a nation enshrines into law that the holy institution of marriage comes together with the abhorrent, the blasphemous marriage with sodomy, with homosexuality. I mean, that nation has pretty much written its own death warrant. Australia is under judgment. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Already, we are in our worst drought, Pastor Vincent. We are in our worst drought that Australia has ever seen in over 100 years.
Wow.
So we've got farmers that are shooting their livestock to put them out of their misery, just shooting their entire livestock because they've basically passed their monetary value. They can't, you know, they're so skinny that they cannot, you know, they're beyond rescuing. So yeah. This is how bad things are getting here in Australia. And, you know, we're paying the price, you know, it's very, very sad.
Daniel, let me ask you this, and I'm going to preface my question to you, because you brought up a statement, and I think there's a major confusion amongst Christians in the body of Christ about the statement that you just brought up. You said Australia is under judgment because of the decisions that it has made. We have men and women in our country, in the United States, and probably prophets from around the world, that are saying that America is not under the judgment of God. Now, you just said Australia was under the judgment, and yet we have a whole slew of people that are very intelligent. They've understood the presidency of the United States. There was a word of knowledge given to them about this event. But the people that have been accurate in certain things are also saying that we are not under judgment. So did you, when you made that statement, Australia is under judgment, and I know you're a praying man, you fast for long periods of time, you seek the heart of God, and you have a worldwide ministry, God is promoting you, opening doors, and you're staying all humble about that. But from when you said Australia is under judgment, was that an emphatic statement? Is that something you would not dare turn from? Or is it maybe possible it's really not under judgment, it's just something else? Your thoughts?
No, without a doubt, it's under judgment. We need to be very careful because, especially in this particular time, remember, back in Jeremiah's time, the Babylonians were coming, and Jeremiah was warning them. He says, the Babylonians are coming, you know. You need to repent. He said, at the beginning of Jeremiah's ministry, like he said to them, listen, this could possibly turn around if you repent. If you turn away from your sin, this could be turned around. You know what's interesting, two parts of this, is that Jeremiah's own name, Jeremiah, in Hebrew, could mean one of two things. It could mean he who builds up or he who tears away. One who builds up or one who tears down. So it's within Jeremiah's own name. It's like an ultimatum. You know, you could either let God to build you up, or if you do not repent, you're torn down. It's either one or the other. And it's interesting that Jeremiah's own name is symbolic of that. Now, in Jeremiah's time, he warned and warned and warned, and yet there were other so-called prophets who said, no, that's not going to happen. It's going to be great things that's going to happen. And, you know, and then Jeremiah said those famous words, you know, about these prophets. He said, they will say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. In fact, he said it twice in the book of Jeremiah. Peace, peace, where there is no peace. There's a lot of false prophets going around at the moment, Pastor Vincent, saying that God, America is not under judgment. I believe that is a lie from the pit of hell. America cannot resolve itself of the over 50, actually, no, it's more close to 60 million deaths since Roe versus Wade in 1973. Moreover than that, the fact that it voted in for homosexual marriage, and I spoke earlier how much that is an abomination in the eyes of the Lord, and the fact that they take that, which is already an abomination, and try to merge it together with that which God calls holy, is absolutely blasphemous. You know, it's not if, it's when God will judge. You know, and remember what Thomas Jefferson said years ago. He said, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. I get the feeling that Thomas Jefferson knew, he had a bit of wisdom, a word of wisdom in his heart to know that America was eventually going to be judged. And I believe he's absolutely right, you know. Franklin Graham said, as a nation, we have become desensitized to the value of human life. That's also evident in the 60 million children whose lives have been ended through abortion in this country since 1973. My prayer is that America will wake up before it's too late. God's judgment is coming. So we cannot escape this, you know. And I get kind of chided a bit by other American pastors for saying this, because they don't like to think that their country is coming under judgment. You know, I don't like to say it either, because I love America. I deeply love America. But judgment's coming. America is going to be judged in the same way that Australia is going to be judged. You know, but we need to see the big picture in all this, because once America has been dealt with, Satan is going to move on to the next phase of his plan, which is to gather the nations up against Israel. And that cannot happen. That's a significant part of end time events. And that end time event cannot happen with America at the moment, you know. So, yeah, people get cross at me for saying this. They don't like me to say that America's under judgment. But I believe it. Again, it's not if, it's when. And I say that with a very heavy heart. But, you know, someone asked me when I was in America last time, does this mean all of America? Well, I don't believe so. I believe it's parts of America will come under the full brunt of God's judgment, but other parts will be spared. So that's one thing we need to keep in mind. So when all these things happen, let's not just, you know, throw our hands up in the air and be despondent and despairing. No, we need to lift up our heads and not realize that our salvation is drawing near.
Well, amen to that. And I have two comments to that. And I'm thinking, number one, maybe the people that are saying we're not under judgment are totally misunderstanding what the word judgment actually means, because there are three Greek words, which we've talked about, which are krisis and krima and krino. And krisis is where we get our English word crises. And it's impossible to say that America is not under a crisis. We've been in a crisis for a long time, particularly 9/11, 2001. I mean, on 9/11, the alarm bell sounded. My God, you're in a crisis, America. So in all of these words basically talk about a separation, a separating between the light and the darkness, the goats and the sheep. You know, this separating judgment, this sword that separates everything from what's right and what's wrong. But what I'm thinking about also is when we talk about judgment, I go back always and refer to Revelation chapter 18 when God begins to say, I'm going to judge Babylon. Judgment is coming on Babylon. And then in verse, what is it? Verse 20, it says, rejoice over her, you heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. So the attitude of a Christian when the unrighteousness of the system of Babylon and the spirit of Babylon is prevailing, and then suddenly God brings judgment upon it, the righteous rejoice at the righteous judgment of God, right?
Why? In Revelation 18, the angels command us to rejoice. You know, like, God commands us to rejoice at Babylon's fall. that's interesting, isn't it? I thought, well, that is really, really interesting that we need to rejoice when we see that Babylon has been dealt with, that the sins have been finally dealt with. So, you know, and another thing that's interesting, when you mention the spirit of Babylon, and that's exactly correct, it is the spirit of Babylon. It's a pagan spirit that stands in rebellion against God. And, you know, this pagan spirit, this spirit of Babylon that is over America at the moment, used to be over the spirit of, used to be over the city of Rome.
Right.
And that's why Peter, said when he wrote in his epistle, he said, he mentioned that those in Babylon send their greetings. Who's he referring to? Peter was never in literally in Babylon. Peter was writing that from Rome. He was in Rome. When he said those in Babylon send their greetings, he's referring to the city of Rome. And not only that, but Church Father Jerome also thought that Rome resembled Babylon. Why? Because the pagan spirit that was over it. And yet Rome was judged. Rome fell in dramatic fashion. And by the way, interestingly, the barbarians that were the ones that sacked Rome initially came into the empire as refugees. They came into the empire as refugees. They took advantage of Rome's welfare program, and they bled it dry, and Rome could no longer afford to pay its massive armies, and the welfare state just got the better of it, and it bit the dust. And then the barbarians knew that the time was right, and they struck. So we're seeing very, very many, many parallels that we can actually see between Rome and America at the moment, which is very, very sobering.
Well, Daniel, you just said something, and I think that needs to be resounding right now. The time was right, and they struck. And I've been thinking the last several weeks in this kind of lull that there's been. There's been wind all around, turmoil to a degree, but there's been kind of a lull. And I've been asking myself, what are the what are the enemies of America, the enemies of the West? What are they strategizing right now as we're dealing with North Korea, shaking hands with Kim Jong-un, shaking hands with Mr. Putin? You know, what are the enemies of America thinking as they're seeing all of these things? And we have to admit that there are enemies of this nation, and God is going to raise them up to bring it down. And then I was thinking also, Rome was also known as the Great Whore. You could go back and watch the movie The Gladiator, and one of the great scenes in the movie The Gladiator was that we'll suck the milk from the breast of the great whore, and it was about this Roman Empire. And so here's a mindset, a thought that I believe is acceptable. You go back to Jeremiah, it's all about the destruction of Babylon, and that physical Babylon was destroyed. Well, then you get to the book of Revelation, and there's a Babylon to be destroyed, which is the ultimate. Revelation 18 is the ultimate reality of the global world power in the last days before the second coming of Jesus Christ, Babylon. But along the way, there have been Babylons. There was the actual Babylon in Jeremiah's day, which was Iraq. Rome was a Babylon. Maybe, the great British Empire was a Babylonian. It became Babylonian in its nature. And so now America...
Well, the Greek Empire.
The Greek Empire, that's right. Yeah, go ahead, pick it up from there. Follow that on.
Yeah, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, and all of these different pagan civilizations exhibit many of the traits that we are seeing happening right now in the West at the moment. So
correct.
The fact that, and again, one of the names on the prostitute's forehead, on her, sorry, I say forehead, you guys say forehead, but
no,
on her on her forehead is written the name Babylon the Great. Well, what does that mean? Well, it simply means it's going to be the Babylon of all Babylons.
Right.
The Babylon of all Babylons. Like, you take all of the pagan practices done by these previous civilizations, and it will be all rolled up into one. Like, it'll be a Babylon on steroids. And this is exactly what we're seeing.
And Daniel, aren't we actually witnessing, kind of like in a type and a shadow, all of the conservatives in the United States under Donald Trump's administration, as he's putting into the Supreme Court more conservative judges, and when he's pulling us out of the... And so the saints of God are kind of rejoicing that Donald Trump is making his move politically, and that's why you have to make sure you don't keep your eyes on a man. But how many people do you know, Christian people, that are rejoicing that Hillary Clinton is not the president of the United States, Barack Obama is not the president of the United States, and that we're kind of maybe even addressing the abortion issue now because of these Supreme Courts? So the righteous are rejoicing just because some form of crisis is coming upon the left that you're talking about all the time. But I suspect that there will be a resurgence of the king of Babylon as America is destroyed, and then that Babylonian spirit that will go after Israel in the Great Tribulation and those who carry the name of Christ. Speak into that.
Well, I tell you what I do think could possibly happen is that Roe versus Wade will come down to another Supreme Court vote. But this will be the straw that breaks the camel's back in regard to the left. The left will not take this one iota. I mean, they will go full rogue on this, because abortion to the left is their highest sacrament. It's their highest sacrament. You know, there was a Planned Parenthood advertisement, TV advertisement in New York, right? And it said, and the Planned Parenthood ad was this: "We protect your freedom to F." Mm-hmm. You heard me right. We protect your freedom to F-U-C-K. That's what they were saying. I mean, this is the heart of the issue. The fact that abortion is all about the purposeful pursuing of rebellion and sin. That's exactly what it is. And this is why abortion is the highest sacrament. Child sacrifice. It's sacrificing on the altar of self. My will be done, not your will be done. You know, and this God will not tolerate that nation that sacrifices its unborn, you know, will not tolerate that nation for much longer. I mean, its days are most certainly numbered. Now, if it does come down to a vote, I'm telling you now, the Liberals will revolt. They will absolutely go to town on this. There's no... Because this is their number one thing. This is their highest sacrament. They would never allow that to happen. And they would rather provoke a civil war than for Roe versus Wade to be compromised. And I think that's saying something.
It certainly is. And you talk about the altars of idolatry laced throughout this land of America, and Christians living in this land knowing that the pagans are here. They have erected their altars of idolatry. They have shed innocent blood to the sacrifice of Lucifer and to the gods of luxury and promiscuity, et cetera, et cetera. And Christians are walking around saying God is not judging America for these things, and plus all the other things that are going on. And one large reason for that, you know, even the wicked. I sat in a courtroom a couple of years back in Fayetteville when there was a big vote going on about whether they're going to legislate homosexuality in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And I was in the court, and I had an opportunity to speak at that meeting. And what the panel of judges, if you will, said at that time, when somebody brought up God's going to judge America for our sins, all this conversation was going on, and they laughed. They mocked because San Francisco was brought up, and they said, San Francisco has one of the strongest economies in our country. It's known for its homosexuality, and God hasn't touched it. And so people are saying after nearly 50 years of abortion that God was going to judge us, he would have done it a long time ago. And so the attitude of the wicked is that God does not judge because the church has preached that God does not judge.
Yeah.
Come on, Daniel. The church is to be the compass. And people, we don't want hellfire and brimstone. Well, if the world is saying God does not judge, maybe the church's voice has not been loud enough to say no. Not only does he does judge, but we're under judgment and show the world. And yet, people that live in San Francisco, strong economies, the abortionists, the left, the progressive, they're sitting laughing. They are mocking at the Christian idea that God judges. And then you have people in the church saying God's not judging.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the utopian petri dish of America, which is San Francisco. I mean, San Francisco has turned into a, how can you say it? A very, very sorry state of affairs. Let me just read you this. The former vice chairwoman of the California Republican Party said, decades of liberal policies have led to an exponential increase in filth and homelessness in San Francisco. Hamit Dilihon said tourists have been shocked by conditions on the streets, including the amount of used hypodermic needles littering the streets of trendy neighborhoods. Dillon said other problems include piles of human feces left by the burgeoning homeless population. She said that leftist politicians like former mayor and current gubernatorial candidate Gavin Newsom believe that by giving out needles and coddling them, they can convince residents it will be a better city for everyone. Dillon called the city the utopian petri dish of America, where all of the new crazy liberal ideas are tried and eventually farmed out to the other cities nationwide. She said many California liberals like Newsom are simply enablers for homeless people, drug users, and other unsavory characters. Man, that's saying something. I mean, I tell you what, San Francisco is becoming a basket case of iniquity. And they may mock and say, well, God's not judging San Francisco. Let me tell you something. San Andreas' fault is going to shift. It's not if, it's when. And massive, massive judgment is going to come to that city. You know, it might not be happening now because God is still stretching out his arm, saying, yes. Repent, repent. Please don't go down this path. Please don't go down this path. Repent. But God's patience will come to an end. And eventually, the arc of the door was closed. God's patience runs out.
So, Daniel, what's going to happen then in the United States of America? A house divided cannot stand. Is there's going to be an internal civil war, an internal revolution within this nation. Mm. There's going to be a bloodbath of racial violence and ethnic violence that's going to come forward. The world is going to stand back and let it go. It's like two guys on a street corner, and everybody gathers around in a circle and says, let them go at it. And so they start fighting. Two brothers are fighting one another, and the crowd is cheering them on. And what's happening is the world, it's that Palestinian, United Nations things that you're talking about, then as America is weakened by its internal division of violence, revolution, civil war, all of a sudden they'll let them beat the daylights out of each other until they're both weakened, and then the world community will come in and take control, which will spark another form of revolution, because the Second Amendment rights and the gun owners are going to come under the control of a world community saying you have to give this up. That's going to turn into greater warfare. Then will come starvation. Then will come famine. Then will come an economic collapse. And these are the things that are biblical. These are the biblical patterns for a nation that sins like we do. And we have been warning people for years to prepare for this moment, but time has gone by, nothing's happened, people get unarmed, and yet there is a moment suddenly that these things will begin to happen. And I just can't see another way out unless highest pulpits in the church to the highest pulpits in our nation, men would confess their sin, that there would be a confession of sin and repentance, but it's not going to happen. The heart is hard. Now, could God pour out his spirit and soften the hearts of men? He's done it before. Yeah, but not all men repent. And I just think that biblically, prophetically, we're at a time where we have crossed the point of no return. I've been saying that since 2003, and I've never seen us return. It's 15 years down the road now, and America has not returned to who we once were. And I don't believe we ever will again, Daniel.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. You know, John Adams said that our Constitution was created for a moral and religious people. He said it was wholly inadequate for the people of any other. Now, I'll just say that again. He said our Constitution was created for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the people of any other. Now, when you think about that, when you consider that the Constitution was created for a righteous people, when the people become more and more wicked, the Constitution becomes more and more useless to them. It becomes more and more inadequate to them. You know, they simply cannot constitution, because a wicked people inevitably goes down the road to enslavement. This is the principle. This is the timeless principle here. So a Christian nation, a nation that adheres to biblical principles, is a nation that finds itself within freedom. It's a nation that enjoys great freedom, but a nation that embraces wickedness and sin is inevitably on a path towards enslavement. This is the principle. You know, Horace Greeley said this: it is impossible to enslave mentally or socially a Bible-reading people. The principles of the Bible are the groundwork of human freedom. Isn't that interesting?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everything we're talking about right now, I sense a reality to it. And I want to present this, and I want our listeners right now to really, really pay attention to what Daniel is saying. And pay attention, because I'm going to present something right now that maybe you need to start praying about. And as we were traveling across the country, we have a beautiful country here, by the way, Wyoming, South, you know, down into Colorado. It's a beautiful country. There's no doubt about that, that the planet that God created is gorgeous. He took his paintbrush, as my grandson said, and he painted a masterpiece in creation. Men's hearts are defiling things. And here is what I believe God is revealing, is how this is going to work. And it could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen another 5 years from now. It's totally in God's timing. But what I believe we can expect is that, number one, as we were traveling across this great country, there's tons of land, and there are test sites everywhere. And there are areas that are going to be built for prisons. Now, listen carefully to what I'm going to say. There are areas in this country, in Wyoming, South Dakota, and other places, where there are huge masses of territory of land where they're erecting prisons. Now, what are they doing with prisons in the middle of nowhere? Well, what is going to happen in the first place? There's going to be an outbreak of war in the inner cities of the United States, the big ones, whether it's going to be initiated by a dirty bomb, whether it's going to be just conflict like we've already seen in the inner cities with protests and violence. But now there's going to be a rising tide on both sides. This is going to begin in the inner cities, and then people are going to begin to flee. They're going to seek to flee the violence of the inner cities. People are going to flee to the mountains and other out-of-city places. And the masses within our nation are going to try to get out of the violence, because a lot of people aren't prepared for it. And so they're going to seek to get away. They're going to go into the mountains. They're going to go into the hills. And that's when the world powers are going to step in, and they're going to create prisons for people to go into. And thus begins, Daniel, what we have seen in history. It's not make-believe. It has happened in history, the undoing of the United States of America.
Well, what you'll see happening in America will be something that very similar to the French Revolution. You know, I mean, the left don't like to talk about the French Revolution, because the French Revolution is them. The French Revolution is the left summed up, pretty much. You know, I mean, the fact that they, you know, and what did they do to the Christians? What did they do to the church leaders? They got them and they put them in guillotines and cut off their heads. That's what they did. You know, and I think it's interesting that we are also noticing that there's a resurgence among the unhinged left, where they have this fascination with beheading conservatives. I don't think there's a mistake to that. And again, this is also part of the reason, because they're becoming more and more and more like their ally, which is Islam as well, you know. They're becoming more and more totalitarian like Islam. They're becoming more and more blood like Islam. You know, it's very, very interesting the way that things are unfolding at the moment.
Absolutely. And it goes into the Islamic against Israel. It goes to the black, to the white, to the brown, to the red. It goes to all these different ethnic groups and racial groups. And what we're talking about here, and it is something that has to be expressed, because it's everywhere. I mean, if you can't discern this, I mean, I got a question. Where's your discernment? What we're looking at is a clash of violence. Hamas is the Hebrew word for violence. Hamas. Can you imagine that?
Correct.
Hamas for violence. And so we're looking at a clash of violence that is everywhere, where bodies are now slamming, clashing into one another. And when you see that kind of turmoil, that kind of violence, that kind of clashing, that kind of banging, that kind of, you know, acceleration into one another, you're creating an environment, Daniel, that is a biblical judgment of what will happen to mankind who rejects the goodwill of the Father of all creation. It has already been spoken. It is going to be fulfilled, and every generation wants to pass it off to the next. But we as a generation, all we have to do is look back and see the French Revolution, World War II, World War I, Vietnam War, the Korean War. And we can go all the way back in time and see civilizations clashing. Jesus said in the last day, nation would rise against nation, race against race, wars and rumors of wars. He's talking about a clash of violence. And we're seeing it within our own nation, amongst our own people, and this is the house divided that cannot stand.
Yeah, absolutely. This is exactly what's going to happen, and when it all comes to a head, it's going to be tough. And this is why I encourage people to pray, at the moment, and just and you know what, Vincent, I'm been praying a lot lately. And my prayer has been that when everything comes to a head, Lord, that you'll look after my family, that you'll protect my family, keep my family safe. You know, and I encourage everyone to pray that prayer. We need to start praying that prayer now. You know, when everything comes to a head, you say, Lord, protect me and protect my family. Protect my family, Lord.
Yes.
And that's a really wise thing that people need to do right now. Because remember, when Abraham pled with the Lord in regard to Lot and his family, you know, it's interesting that people say to me, you know, God's not going to judge America because look at what look at Abraham, you know, and how he pled with Lot, you know. And I'm thinking, are you using that as an example to say that God's not going to judge America? Are you kidding me? God still judged Sodom and Gomorrah. But the difference was is that he got his righteous people out of that, you know. And God has the power to protect and to shield his righteous ones. Judgment's coming. No doubt about that at all. Yes, Abraham did plead with the Lord in regard to Lot and his family. And God did send angels and get them out of there. And I believe that we're going to see supernatural examples where God is going to do very similar things with people in very wicked places. And God's going to try and get people to get them out of there before it all comes to a head. But yeah, I mean, we need to be praying because we need to work while we have daylight because night is coming, and night is coming a lot quicker than a lot of people think.
Daniel, you said judgment is coming, and I think what we agree upon, judgment is here. And David Wilkerson and other great men of God made a very profound statement when they said, when God sends judgment upon a nation, and they do not repent, he will send destruction. So what is already here is judgment. It's being unresponded to in a proper sense from creation to its creator. And so God will send the destruction. What I'd like to do right now is open the telephone lines to anybody that's out there listening into the broadcast. If you have a question or a comment to Daniel Seckham or myself or just something in general to the conversation, we want to give you the opportunity to call into the program and share your thoughts. The number to call is 818-369-0326. That's 818-369-0326. Daniel and I would love to, embrace your questions and your comments. Listen to what you have to say. What are you hearing today by the Spirit of God? How has this conversation touched your life? Daniel, I'm just impressed with the fact that you're now a writer for the Prophecy News. Prophecy in the News, is that what it is, where you're doing most of your work right now? That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm writing writing regularly for Prophecy in the News, which is good because it's helping me to write my book. So it's funny how God opens up opportunities and things like that, which actually is another way for me to help me to finish my book. And the other thing too is that I'm going to be speaking this Monday on the End Times Church. It's an online church called End Times Church. So I'm going to be speaking there on Monday, and End Times Church has also got Joel Richardson speaking there and also Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, that's
good.
So,
So check out End Times Church and like it on Facebook and go to the website and you'll see details about when I'll be speaking there on Monday. So Yeah, it's going to be good.
Well, amen to that. You know, I want to thank you for your labor of love today, staying and going the extra mile. I know you're probably going to hit the sack here and get some sleep. And we just wanted to give opportunity one more time. If you're out there today, you have a question or comment, the number to call is 818-369-0326. And then press 1 on your dial pad. We'll make sure we grab hold of your question or comment, or just listen to what you have to say. And if that doesn't happen today, we need to open the lines up a little bit earlier, and we'd be happy to do so. Daniel, God bless you, my friend. I don't know what else we could say today. Maybe a final closing prayer for wisdom for God's people to come to a place of clarity, and that the confusion will come to an end in people's hearts and minds, to recognize that when we are at our wits' end, when a nation
exactly, and again, people need to understand that the end times events cannot move forward because America stands. Okay, America stands. Now, what is Satan's strategy? Well, what did Jesus say? He said, in regard to Satan's strategy, Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. A house divided cannot stand. Now, you guys are called the United States of America, but God is going to take away the union. He's going to take away the union that you have. And I hate saying that, again, because I love you guys, but God is going to bring about massive, massive, massive division. And with that division, America will not be able to stand. And this has to happen because the nations, God is going to tend with the nations in regard to his inheritance, the people of Israel, the sons of Jacob. This is, it's all part of his plan. It's all part of it, you know, and Satan is rubbing his hands at the prospect of dealing with Israel. And he wants to bring Israel to a swift end because he wants to stop, well, really he's at war with the covenants. By destroying Israel, he destroys any chance of the Abrahamic covenant being fulfilled, and especially the Davidic covenant being fulfilled. What is the Davidic covenant? Well, it's the fact that the seed of David will sit on his throne and will reign. And that Davidic covenant will be fulfilled when Jesus comes and he reigns on earth from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. So Satan is at war with that. And to stop that from happening, he has to deal with Israel. He has to stop Israel. He needs to wipe Israel off the map. And so they're in the process of doing that. And this is why we're seeing anti-Semitism becoming more and more prominent all over the world. You know, anti-Jew hatred has never been as high as it is right now. And this is one of the major signs, okay, of Christ's return. The fact that the anti-Jew hatred isn't just regional as it was in Nazi Germany in the 1930s. It's becoming global in its phenomenon. It's becoming global and in its reach. And so that is a major sign that the people are becoming so hopelessly anti-Semitic, which I think is a major signpost in regard to the fact that the return of the Lord is not that far away.
No, it's not. And you think that the provocation was simply by, and I do believe that the provocation was bringing the embassy back into Jerusalem. Well, imagine the provocation when the temple has begun to be rebuilt again. We're so very close to the times. And talking about Israel, Daniel, Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, everybody should get this on their calendar. This year, the Feast of Tabernacles begins on Sunday at the setting of the sun, Sunday, September 23rd. So from September 23rd to September 30th is the Feast of Tabernacles. We plan on hosting it once again and probably trying to talk Brother Daniel to get out here to be one of our guest speakers again. We'll see how things go on that. Daniel, we've run out of time today, and I'm going to leave with a beautiful song that everybody loves. I know you're going to love this, Daniel. This is Keith Green. God bless you, my brother. Be well, and shalom, everybody.
Love you, brother.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
my son, why are you striving? You can't add one thing to what's been done for you. I did it all while I was dying. Rest in your faith, my peace will come to you. When I hear the praises start, oh, I want to rain upon you blessings that will fill your heart. I've seen the stain upon you because you are my child and you know me to be your only holy. Nothing that you've done remains, only what you do for me. My child, why are you weeping? You will not have to wait forever. That day and that hour is in my keeping. The day I'll bring you into heaven. When I hear the praises start, my child, I want to rain upon you blessings that will fill your heart. I've seen no stain upon you because you are my child and you know me. To me, you're only holy. Nothing that you've done remains, only what you do in me. Just what you do for me. My precious bride, the day is nearing when I'll take you in my arms and hold you. I know there's so many things that you've been hearing, but you just hold on to what I have told you. When I hear the praises start, my bride, I want to rain upon you blessings that will fill your heart. Oh, I can be no stain upon you because you are my child and you know. To me, you're only holy. Nothing that you've done will remain, but what you do.